What's up, beautiful people, and welcome to Inside Out Empowerment, where we are examining the science of personal excellence through the very real experience of today's most powerful thinkers, professional athletes, and the world's greatest entrepreneurs. We learn the mechanisms for designing the life and the results of our dreams, starting from the inside out. I'm entrepreneur Joshua Nussbaum and your host. Just watch me now.
Paint a little picture of like of what you're doing, of what you do.
Sure. I'm in Italy. I'm actually trading stocks while we're doing this. I'm multitasking. So I trade stocks. I trade with a small account in order to teach. I've got about 5,000 students worldwide. They see my screen. They see when I'm like making a trade. They see my watch list. And I try to basically prepare them. So my top student literally turned 1,500. He's now at 6.6 million in 7 years, which is crazy. So I'm trading like these fucking penny stocks that the whole world hates. But there are some predictable patterns. You can actually make money when they go down. So I expose a lot of these scams and I just teach, and I have video lessons, webinars, watch lists, blog posts, Twitter, Instagram, like today. So this is, I have three podcasts today, just finished three video lessons, gave three stocks, did a watch list, did commentary, and did a webinar this morning. And after this, I'm going to go fucking eat some ravioli.
Fucking like your moves, sir. God, I want to be you when I grow up.
No, don't do that. It's tough. I'm looking to clone myself, but the UN has banned cloning. Thankfully, some Chinese startups, I think, are working on it. But I don't want to be one of the first clones because they're going to be all fucked up. I'll be clone like number 7.
Yeah, you never want to be
Alibaba clone version 17. That'll be me. That'll be sick.
Yeah, you never want to be the first in anything, let alone cloning.
The first 20. They're all going to be messed up. It's going to be ugly.
That would be staggering if we got cloning right after clone number 20. I would be wild.
Clone number 200. I feel like we're already on clone number 50. We just don't hear about it. So
yeah, touche.
I feel like they're walking amongst us, but we don't know.
Have you seen the show Westworld?
Yeah, of course. Fantastic. Don't tell me what's happened. I'm like 10 episodes behind in season 2.
I just caught up last night. So, dude, it's funny. I'm recording this podcast from my house, which I like very, very rarely do.
You're in San Diego?
I'm in San Diego right now. Yeah. But I'm like all fucking thrown off and like out of whack right now because I actually just proposed to my girlfriend yesterday.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah. 8.5 years.
Shit.
We've been together. So
Why are you so slow? Are you have some issues? What's going on there?
I have more issues than we can get to, than we can cover in only an hour recording. Yes, believe me.
I actually proposed when I was going to get married in Positano, Italy, and then I canceled the wedding, but I couldn't get out of the villa. So I started having like these little trips with my students and friends and stuff started when I couldn't get out of my wedding villa. So I just like to travel, and some people like to stay in one place. You know, San Diego is a beautiful little town. I had one of my best tacos ever in San Marcos. There's a food truck there called Mariscos Herman. Fucking amazing. You know that food truck?
I don't. I know San Marcos really well. I don't know that food truck.
Go to fucking San Marcos, Herman Mariscos or Mariscos Herman. It's this little fucking food truck in the middle of nowhere. There's like 20 fat Mexicans and me eating, and it is fucking amazing.
Dude,
they got voted best taco in America. Like, that's how
no
I know
way.
It.
By who? By the 20
by like six different websites. I take my food seriously. I cross-reference fucking Michelin, Coders, Frommer's, TripAdvisor, Yelp, like Zagat, all of them. And this one was number one. It was worth it. I agree.
You and the 20 Mexicans took a vote and voted it best food truck in America. Like,
dude, 100%. You fucking go to San Marcos and you try. Like, if you read some of the reviews, like there's a review that like this lady, she's like, I cried in the parking lot. And that's how good it is. It was so good. It's like a $2 taco. It's a little fucking truck. I'm like, how do they keep the seafood fresh? I don't understand, but it works.
Dude, beautiful. I swear, I'll get one today. I'm literally like 15 minutes away from San Marcos.
Ah, I wish I was. I'm in fucking Italy. There's no tacos here. Just amazing.
Oh, man. Your carb intake is much higher and much easier than mine is right now.
It's all carbs right now. It's beautiful. I'm on Carbicide.
I feel, yeah, so my girlfriend's last name is Corvino. She's Italian all the way back, Corvino. And her whole family is like I feel like there's a lot of parallels between like the Jewish culture and the Italian culture, with like between like the overbearing parents and the like excessive amounts of food, and no matter how much you eat, you're always like withering away. You know?
Except that Italian food is delicious and Jewish food fucking sucks. So that's a big difference.
Speaking as a Jew with an Italian fiance, I can actually back you up 1,000%. You know what isn't terrible is some deli food, and matzo ball soup's pretty good.
I agree. They're not all bad, but you know, Italian food. Have you been to Venice? Have you been to like Italy?
I have not been to Venice, no.
Venice is up and down, but we just came from Lake Como, which was amazing. Tomorrow we're going to Positano, like fucking money.
Dude, yeah.
Do your honeymoon. Make your fiance happy.
Yeah, no, believe me. So that's why I'm like fucking dressed like kind of a schmuck and like at my house instead of my office, is because like we went to the Grand Del Mar, the Fairmont Grand Del Mar. It's like a gorgeous hotel here in San Diego. We like had like the center table and the fireworks, and like I had this whole like elaborate thing we planned, and I had my 9-year-old like hiding in the bushes like army crawl style. You know, she thinks we're on it. I had two Rev Labs athletes in from out of town, two Instagram influencers, and she thought we were at the Grand Del Mar to like get content. You know, we were there for like a photo shoot, and like, you know, her and the chick are like modeling, and we had like the cameras and like the whole setup, and it was like totally inconspicuous. And, you know, I like break off from the table, and cause the waiter's like, hey, you know, you guys got to go pick your spot for whatever. And I'm like, okay, cool. So like we go down, and there's just like, you know, 1,000-yard fountain in like one of the foyers there. And we get to this like gazebo thing at the end of it. And I like have this like whole speech planned in my head. And she's like, what the fuck? What is Noah doing in the bushes? Why is Noah here? Noah? And I'm like, oh fuck, you know, and I'd like paid a security guard to like be there, or like a fake security guard, so I could hand him my phone so you could get the whole thing on camera, you know? So he's like kind of like fake dude is like the only guy within like a 1,000 yards of us. And he's like fixing like these chairs and whatever, like just waiting for me to like give him the signal and like run my fingers through my hair. And she's like, Noah. He's not responding to me. What the hell? And starts walking out of the gazebo. And I'm like, stop, Liz. I'm trying to talk to you. And like, turn her ass around.
Oh my God. That's funny. That's sweet.
I know. Yeah. So I ended up like turning around, and I'm like, hey, bro. And like, throw him my phone, like throw the speech out the window, and like get down on one knee and propose to her.
Beautiful. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a patient motherfucker. She is a relentless human being. And I was like, we need to get the businesses to where the businesses need to be. Like, already tried and failed at the marriage thing once. It's, you know, I went from like, it's absolutely out of the question, to like, it's not on my priority list, to like, okay, yeah, I'm down one day, you know, let's chill.
Nice.
And literally her response was like white face, eyes roll back in her head, and faints, and I have to catch her like full blown, like go out from her. She's like, what are you, I don't feel, and freaking falls.
She fainted?
Falls into me. I had to stand up, and I have it on video. I had to like catch her. I had to like,
this is amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty fucking awesome. Like,
that's awesome. Congrats.
Yeah. Thank you. So I want to hear, how did you get into doing what you do? Catch me and the listeners kind of up to speed. And sorry to jump right into it, but like, dude, I haven't even like been to the office. I haven't turned on my computer.
No worries. I mean, I started out from a small town in Connecticut. I was trying to be a tennis player, but I'm Jewish, so I suck at sports. And I was trying to find my genetics. I didn't realize that Jews aren't meant to be professional athletes.
Realize
like
it.
We're meant to sit behind the desk.
Realize it.
So I was fighting my DNA. It caught up to me. I got injured. You know, my dad now calls it a $1 million injury. My parents gave me control of my bar mitzvah gift money, which was roughly 12 grand. They thought that I would lose it all on the stock market. Instead,
but damn, well done.
Thank you. You invite a whole bunch of people to your bar mitzvah. You don't even fucking know who they are.
You don't give a shit. You study a little
money because that's like the Jewish way, and it works. So I got the money. My parents thought I would lose it all. By the end of senior year of high school, I turned it into $100,000. By freshman year in college, it was nearly $1 million just trading little penny stocks that for some reason worked with me and the whole rest of the world hates. Made $2 million before I graduated college. Started a scholarship while in college, basically in order to graduate because my grades sucked. Then I started a hedge fund.
Wait, slow down. Explain that one to me. Your grades sucked, so you started a scholarship to be able to past. So how did those two equate?
So, you know, this started my long line of gifting in life, and I gifted my university, and then all of a sudden my grades improved quite nicely. Not quite nicely. I went from like an F to like a D, but I graduated and I was like a celebrity on, because I was like the only one who's like ever, or now it's the trend, but I was like the first to start a scholarship in my name while I was still in college, because I had already made, you know, a few million dollars. So I was like, I took a class, the philosophy of philanthropy, and it was just amazing. I did like Make a Wish, and it was cool. So did that, started a hedge fund like a cocky, dumb motherfucker. Can I swear on your thing
like,
or no?
You can motherfucking swear like a motherfucker. Shit piss cunt.
Some of my students, I give webinars and they're like, don't swear. And I'm like, oh, I'm so fucking sorry. Oh, it's my fucking bad. It'll never fucking happen again.
And for the record, tits, fart, turd, and twat.
Exactly. Oh, shit. Fuck. Motherfucker. Shit. Cunt. Motherfucker. So, no. Like, I started a hedge fund. I was trying to manage other people's money. Like a dumb kid thinking that, hey, I made a few million. I can make a few hundred million. Nope. Didn't work out that way. I actually invested in my best friend's dad's company because they invented print-at-home ticketing. The technology was good. The company was bad. My hedge fund had been doing decently, but I was just impatient. So, I basically wiped out 3 years of gains with one investment. Finished up a little bit, but once you lose 30% in 1 year, you lose all your industry credibility. Got on a TV show, Wall Street Warriors. Got drunk as fuck in every episode because I wanted to be like Puck from Road Rules or The Real World. What was it? Road Rules or The Real World? I forget.
Puck was Real World, I think.
So I was like, you know, I can still trade. Yeah, I can still trade stocks, but like I suck at investing. So people need to like see me somehow. So I was just getting drunk because my hedge fund was in the tanker. And I was like, let me get drunk and be on TV. And it actually worked. I starred in 5 or 6 episodes.
I'm gonna write that down. I wanna scope you out and watch these. What
you can watch. I still get, this was a decade ago. I still get emails from people because, you know, we're filming one scene on the golf course and all these boring finance motherfuckers are playing golf. And I'm like, this is gonna be terrible TV. So I got drunk, hit the ball into the water, purposely jumped into the water, retrieved the ball, cameras rolling. To this day, I get 2 to 3 emails from golfers every single day being like, you disrespected my
game. That's awesome. That's beautiful.
I had fun with it.
Yeah, and you know what? I like when you're in school, and I was definitely like the class clown and horribly rebellious and just had like horrible ADD. You're like the class clown. In life, when you're really fucking smart and also like attention and like to be rebellious and push the boundaries, I feel like the entertainment level goes from clown to like, that's fucking awesome.
100%. So I always had, you know, I could always trade stocks. I'm just good with making like $1,000 or $2,000 a day. I don't know how to make $1 million in a day, but $1,000 or $2,000 a day adds up. Like today, I made 2,000. Yesterday, I made 1,000. Some days I lose, but it adds up. And this is my special talent, but it's boring. Like finance is boring. Trading stocks is fucking boring. So I had to make it entertaining, just like I do when I teach. So I was on this TV show running my stupid little hedge fund, managing money for rich people that I don't get along with, going to charity events, fucking hating my life. And I was like, fuck. The reality show took off. I started getting like 300 emails a day from people saying, hey, I want to turn 12,000 into 2 million. Teach me.
Remember reality TV shows when that was the way, like that was how you ingested organic content, was like watching people on reality TV because there was no social, no IGTV, no Snapchat stories, you know what I mean?
Correct.
That's how.
So I was at a really good time. It was actually, Wall Street Warriors was one of the first HD TV shows to take off. It would actually, they told me that it was the number one most downloaded TV show on iTunes back in 2008.
Dude, I was going to say, a decade ago was 2018. I don't think I was downloading TV shows yet. In 2008, no. I was there yet. So that's rad. All right.
You know, it was all nerds with HD TVs and iTunes. So I was big hit with the nerds
perfect,
in New
perfect,
York.
Like, perfect I class to be and segment of the audience to be great with.
Fantastic. I didn't pay for a drink for like 3 months. It was fantastic.
I like that about
you. Oh shit, this stock I'm long is fucking going. Oh baby, BBOX. I bought it at $1.50 this morning. Right now it's at 207. It just hit a day high. I'm multitasking. So I'm still trading stocks. I'm teaching. The TV show was a hit. My hedge fund lawyer told me, don't talk to anybody who emails you. You can only manage money for rich people. And I was like, well, fuck this. Let me get into teaching. Then I started my company. Wiley offered me $35,000 for my life story. I thought that was too cheap. So I started my own publishing company, Millionaire Media. And my whole goal was to create millionaires from scratch. Now I have 5 millionaires, a few dozen students who have made 6 figures. And I just teach and trade and travel. And now I started my own charity, the Timothy Sykes Foundation. I had one tweet because I build these little schools and no one fucking cares on social media. So I tweeted, for every retweet, I'm going to build another school, thinking that it would get like 5 retweets like all my other shit. Instead, it went viral, you know, 2,000 retweets now. So now I'm kind of on the hook to build 2,000 schools, which is not a bad thing. I've built 40 schools so far, but now I'm going to keep building more schools because, you know, I can't delete that tweet. And so I pinned that tweet and now I have to fucking build all these schools. I took my charity from college to the next level, where my friend Neil built a school in Cambodia. Cost him like $15,000. I was like, that's a good deal. Let me build one, but let me, you know, donate $50,000 because I'm competitive and I want to build my school right next to Neil's, which I did. And mine is 3 times the size of his. Fuck Neil. Sorry, Neil Patel. But I had to build the school and now I built a soccer stadium next to it too, just to rub it in.
I got addicted.
I started visiting all these, you know, communities in the third world country where you can build a school. The soccer stadium cost me $63,000. You know, I have all this money. I've been to over 100 countries. I'm fat as shit sometimes. I'm skinny as shit. I'm up and down like Jonah Hill. I'm just bored in life, really. So building schools, changing communities.
I saw a meme that said women are more bipolar with their pain tolerance than Jonah Hill's weight. One minute they're like in the corner in the fetal position whining about their period cramps, and 2 seconds later they're like, the only way I can come is if you tie me up and hit me with a shovel.
Nice. How long are we going for? I got to fucking sell, but I'm you're actually helping me make more money by giving me the patients that I don't
fucking
have.
Beautiful. You tell me how long you want to go for. That's what she said. I got the magic touch. It's called the Joshua Nussbaum effect. But what the fuck are you looking at right now? Explain to me what the hell is happening.
So there's a penny stock. The ticker is BBOX. I'm trading these fucking stocks, these little crappy penny stocks that pretty much everyone in the world hates, but they're somewhat predictable. So I was buying BBOX this morning. Holy shit, 216. I was buying it at $1.50 and actually 218. So this company said that they were actually going to pretty much go bankrupt on Tuesday. They said, we don't have enough cash to last through the end of the year. The stock dropped big. Now today they announced a $10 million contract with a big social media giant, which means Facebook or Twitter, for a $10 million data center. But in the same press release, they tease that they say, if they do this right, this could be a $300 million deal, which would be the biggest deal in the company's history. So they went from near bankruptcy to now the biggest contract in the company's history. And, you know, they could be lying. They could just be hyping themselves up. But you have to think, why would they put out a press release hyping themselves up if there was even a chance that they're going to go bankrupt? Because now if they go bankrupt, anybody could sue them for this hyped up press release that they put out today. So if your company puts out a hyped up press release, they better fucking mean it. And that's why I think this company means it. That's why I bought it at $1.50. It was up 75% on the day. Right now it's up 123% because now everyone's thinking, what is this contract? Is it Facebook? Is it Twitter? Is it really going to be a $300 million deal? It doesn't matter. It's just hype. So I'm riding the momentum. Today is a Friday. A lot of people buy stocks on a Friday. They'll hear about it over the weekend. I'm trying to just have patience and fucking ride this thing. But I don't have patience. Like, this is already a huge winner for my
students. Explain to me how your philosophy works, or how you teach people, and I get that you do courses upon courses. And I don't really care to be here and like suffer through a very elongated lesson on it. Give me like the basics of how and why penny stocks, and then how you communicated what your philosophy is and how it's different than the other guys that are admittedly less entertaining while teaching the same type of shit.
Sure. So no one else teaches penny stocks in the entire world. The most famous penny stock guy is Jordan Belfort, who was a fucking scam artist. He's still a scam artist. If you want to learn how to be a career criminal, I highly encourage you to learn from Jordan Belfort. He now teaches.
He doesn't teach trading, though. I think he teaches like sales.
Holy shit, 224. No, he doesn't teach trading now. He teaches how to sell. But before, he was selling these pump and dumps, and he was pumping them up while at the same time dumping them. That's where the term pump and dump comes from. There's also a movie called Boiler Room, which was based on his exploits. It was less of a hit because it was kind of fucking depressing.
I love that movie.
Boiler Room or Wolf of Wall Street?
Both. More Boiler Room.
Boiler Room was more technical, did about 10 or 15 million in box office.
Look at the smile on my face, ear to fucking ear.
I know. I spoofed that Ben Affleck video. There's me on that on YouTube.
And there's Ben Affleck again. Link to the YouTube video. I want to see it. You think it's not a lot of money, admittedly. You know, your parents need a work-life balance. Your friends don't like it. Your mom and dad don't like it. Fuck you, mom and dad. See what they're saying when you're making their goddamn left.
When you're paying their fucking mortgage. I did the whole fucking speech, okay? Anyways, they scammed, okay? Someone actually reposted this. Long story short, those guys scammed. What I do is I teach this real. I'm not saying BBOX is going to be the next big thing. Right now, I'm just saying I'm riding the hype on a Friday. and I'm making some kinds of judgment calls based on how I know this works. Like a company that is failing cannot put out that press release. So they probably have some good news. And guess what? You can ride the momentum. Penny stocks are so inefficient because most of the world hates on them. It's pretty much idiots buying this stuff. So they're it's very much based on idiot psychology. And you can predict how idiots, like we all know idiots, you know, in our lives, you can pretty much guess how they're going to think versus the rest of the stock market where you're competing against hedge funds, algorithms, computer generated stuff. I can't compete with that. So I'm competing against idiots, and the idiots create predictable patterns.
What are some of the predictable patterns that you see show up?
Well, this is one of them. So on Fridays, you know, oftentimes a company will spike big on a Friday morning, but it can keep going. So this stock was already up 75% when I bought it, which is a big, big move. You know, the company nearly doubled in, you know, one day just based on this new news. But now it's up 125% because the news can keep going. Another pattern, I look for the first red day. So stocks go up and down. If it's up on the day, it's a green day. If it's down on the day, it's a red day. Sometimes penny stocks that are being hyped up, there's still, you know, people like Jordan Belfort. There might not be one Wolf of Wall Street, but there's many small ones, and they can hype a stock up for 1, 2, 3, sometimes 5 or 10 days. There's a little disclaimer on the bottom of the email. This is a paid advertisement. We're being paid to pump up the stock. You guys are fucking idiots. They don't say that, but you know, that's basically what they're saying to anybody who believes these advertisements. So they pump up the stock. The stock goes from like 20 cents to maybe $2. Then I look for that first red day when the advertisements start, you know, dropping and the momentum shifts, and then the stock can crash 50%. You can short sell the stock, profit when it crashes.
Got it. And what sort of tells do you look for besides for like first red day? How do you tell where it's at in the like the bullshit cycle of like if it's propped up, if it's going to keep playing? And obviously there, it's not a...
So, I mean, it's none of this is an exact science, but the first red day and fading volume usually indicates that the promotion is over. So it's, I mean, this is why I don't have to be that smart or that good at math. It's more like pattern recognition. Like I've seen 1,000 of these penny stocks crash, and they usually crash in the same way. It's kind of like an airplane running out of fuel. And, you know, it's gliding, but there's no real momentum. And then it just fucking falls out of the sky. The same thing with these penny stocks. I have 1,000 free videos on my YouTube channel. Some of them you can see me trade live. And, you know, I'm basically, you can see my screen and you can see these patterns play out.
It sounds like most of my relationships, gliding, and then plummets a stone out of the sky.
Fantastic. Whatever works for you.
Yeah,
you know?
No, they're predictable. Yeah. So when I see the first red day, I'm like, fuck it, I'm out trading for a newer model.
Yeah.
Time to turn this in.
I like taking profits, like $1,000, $2,000. That's the key. I don't think that this BBOX is going to be the next like Microsoft, although it could be. I oftentimes sell too soon, but if you make $1,000 or $2,000, it adds up. And I say, you know, $1,000 or $2,000 a day keeps the real job away.
I like that about you very much. So let me ask you something. Do you just pay on the way? Do you just ride on the way up? Or when it starts to fucking eat shit, do you short the stock?
I mean, I go back and forth. I've made probably about $3 million going long and about $2 million going short. So lately, I've been going long a lot just because this has been a 9-year bull market. I mean, I've been teaching for 10 years. I prefer shorting because I can expose the stocks. I can do like audits and all sorts of stuff.
I don't know shit about my older brother works for a fund and or he actually works for UBS and he has his portfolio and he's an FA and an advisor and all that stuff, but you know, has all of his like serious things, and he fucking talks to me about like macroeconomic whatever, and like I'm really interested when it gets macro, and then when it gets like very micro and he's talking about like the risk derivatives and da da da, and I'm just like, oh, this just took a left down lame avenue so fucking hard. Like,
I mean, for me, it's just penny stocks are very simple. They have one or two products. The stock goes up or stock goes down. I'm trading the most active, most volatile stocks, so I'm either right or wrong very quickly. Rule number one is cut losses quickly. So I have a lot of losses where I'm wrong like 30% of the time, but at the same time, my losses are small. I lose like 3 or 4 or 5% on this one. I mean, this stock is 40% higher than where I bought it this morning.
Yeah, so I was going to say, the reason I brought up my brother, no offense, Ben, if you're probably not listening to this, Ben Nussbaum, I would say go follow him on Instagram and whatever, but he probably wouldn't approve you anyway and is probably private and has like 18 followers. And every one of them he knows like intimately and personally. So don't go follow Ben Nussbaum, but if you do, feel free to like send him an annoying DM and say, your brother told me to fuck with you. But my old brother's like everything in the world that I'm not. He's like, bald and appropriate as fuck and always says the right fucking thing and has a 10-year plan and a 20-year plan, and I'm like sitting here like scratching my balls at like fucking noon being like, what do I want to create today? you know what? Fuck it. Yeah, let's buy that company Pretty Fit. I really like the look of their supplements. And they're like, did you get the deal done? I'm like, no, I'll call the owner right now. We'll get it done. Well, where are you guys at in the deal? I'm like, I don't fucking know. I don't remember our last phone call. I'm going to call Alex. He'll do it. Ben's like, you can't live your life like that. I'm like, really? Because you were telling me that in high school, and it seems to have worked out pretty well for both of us. We just have very different styles. When he talks to me about the stock market, I want to fucking shoot myself in the face. When you're talking to me about the stock market, it feels very fun and like radical and honestly like intuitive. It seems like sensical, which might be because you're used to teaching it, not just trading.
I mean, this is what changed my life. Like, all my friends are still in the small town, Connecticut. I've been to 117 countries now. You know, I mean, this is the strategy that's changed everything. And I enjoy it because I know how hard it is and how boring it is for most people. And 90% of traders lose money, not just in penny stocks, but in anywhere in the stock market. Like, this is gambling to its finest.
90%? Wait, is that a real statistic or are you just saying?
100%. There's been several academic studies. You know, the fucking E-Trade commercials with a little baby don't show it. It's like, oh, look how fun this is. If a fucking baby was trading stocks, it would be massacred. It would be a bloody baby. It would be horrendous. Okay. This is not easy. So you need someone with guidance. I'm entirely self-taught and I wish I had somebody. Even though I made $5 million, I made so many fucking boneheaded mistakes for so long. And now I have these rules that frankly protect me.
Okay, so give me some of your rules and feel free to give away some of your paid knowledge.
I'll give away everything. Okay, that's the beauty of this. I don't hold anything back. Like, a lot
you're
of people
like,
are
like, you're
oh.
Like me. You're like me. I give all my fucking shit. People want to know about Amazon. I'm doing like $4 million a month on Amazon right now.
Fantastic.
I stood on stage at my buddy's event and was like, this is exactly what I fucking do. And it was for companies that were $10 million to $100 million a year. So mid-sized supplement companies. Change the way you think. Very ironically, in a room full of DR people, I'm going to say something that's very unpopular. It's not about ROI. It's about CLV. It's not about the return on investment of your funnel, which everybody is all about. It's about customer lifetime value. If you figure out what your customer values and then give them a lot of it, preferably for free, regardless of what your ROI is, you're going to be able to increase your customer lifetime value, and that's where the profit lies. If your ROI can be zero, meaning you don't make anything, but you don't lose anything, and you're driving sales for break even, you have every single making you need to build a $100 million company. If you can break even on the front end of your funnel, start playing with the CLV and watch what happens.
I agree. You should talk to my business partner. He deals with all that. But for me, I just want to give everything away. There's most people are fucking fakes. Like, oh, I'll teach you to make $1 million. Oh, I'm a guru. They don't prove it. They don't show all their trades. I show my fucking audits, income tax statements. I show it all.
Oh, fuck and yeah. Just like, I like that about you.
With live trades like this, like, a lot of people were hating on it this morning. They're like, why are you buying the stock, Sykes? It's already up 75%. Now it's up 120%. Fuck you, haters. Fuck you, doubters. And that's the beautiful thing. Sometimes I'm wrong, but more times than not, I'm right. What?
I said, fuck you, mom and dad, quoting Ben Affleck. And then I was like, sorry, mom, I didn't mean that. She doesn't listen.
Wait till you see when I pay your fucking mortgage. Yeah. No, that's what it is. You prove yourself. The internet allows you to prove yourself and get the word out like never before. It's the great amplifier. I think the biggest thing since the printing press 500 plus years ago. And we're just beginning to see this. And if you're just real, like, I'm not perfect. I lose a lot. I screw up. Sometimes I trade drunk. Sometimes I miss a day of trading because I'm traveling. You know,
you have faulty internet connection in Italy that makes me.
I say this a lot where sometimes I go to visit all the schools that I'm building. I frankly enjoy traveling. So I go to like Cambodia and Laos and Nepal. And sometimes I don't have great Wi-Fi. And so I say I'm trading with like 1/10 the position size today because my Wi-Fi sucks. And some people are like, well, you're just making excuses. I'm like, what? This is what it is. Like, if you don't have good internet, if you have a busy day, you don't trade with a big account. Like, you can modulate. That's the beauty of trading, where it's not like investing where you're like, oh, I think this company is good, I'm going to buy it. I think this company is bad, I'm going to sell it. Like, you can take big positions. You can take small positions. I have part-time trading students. I have full-time students. You just try to make the stock market work for you when there's an opportunity. Some days I don't even trade. Some Fridays I don't make a trade, but this opportunity kind of lined up with everything that I teach.
Is anybody able to do this or no?
you need dedication, really. I mean, a lot of people think that it's just going to be easy and they're just like, oh, I'm going to be your next millionaire student. But like, my top students are kind of psychopaths. Like, I thought my newest millionaire student was a hacker. He was on my website so much. So you do need to be dedicated to truly master it. But at the same time, everyone should learn just the basics about finance. They don't teach this in high school. It's pathetic. You don't even know like how to manage your money. I mean, college, don't even get me started. But like, even if you give your money to like a mutual fund manager, I mean, most mutual funds, 70% of them just fail to beat the S&P 500, which is the 500 Seriously? Biggest companies in the U.S.
Did you say 70, so you have all these 70% of hedge funds fail to beat the S&P 500?
Mutual funds. Hedge funds is more like 80%.
I was gonna say, it's a
It's a fucking bullshit game. Everything on Wall Street is bullshit.
Yeah.
The vast majority of traders lose. The vast majority of professional managers fail to beat a simple fucking index. So if you don't want to do any work, invest in the 500 biggest companies in America. It's got a fucking century of track record and it's done fantastic. But all these other people go on TV. Oh, I have this fancy suit. I think I know that China is going to be amazing. Oh, I have this special new thing. And it's all bullshit. They're all selling snake oil. So I just have to be real and show this stuff. Like, the whole world fucking hates penny stocks. Because they hate that, therein lies the opportunity. So I'm taking advantage. You can make money with Warren Buffett. I mean, you'll make millions of dollars in the next 40, 50, 60 years. And by the time you get rich, you know, you might be able to afford a titanium fucking hip. But
yeah, no, exactly. Me, touche. No, but he said, if everyone's running away from something, run towards it.
You know, 100%. And that's right. And he actually has a history in penny stocks. They don't talk about that very often. He got started with penny stocks. He actually got fined early in his career for some of his penny stock dealings. There's a lot of nastiness with penny stocks because they're just such small companies and most people manipulate them. This is why for me, when I trade, like, I'm excited because I'm being proven right. But I had like fucking, you know, just a few thousand shares. Like, I'll spend more on my fucking hotel rooms and dinner tonight than I'm going to make on this. And I donate all my money that I make from trading for charity. I go back to $12,000 every year to show what I can do, what I can grow it to. So I'm the only guy where I'm trading with a small account. Everybody else is trying to manage as much money as possible. I'm just trying to teach it. I don't manage anybody else's money.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Do you run ads that feed into funnels to attract new students to be able to sign up for your shit or enroll in your classes? Or how do you attract people?
That's all my business partner. I deal with content. So, you know, I just frankly teach. I don't have to deal with anything else. I'm already busy enough just researching, making video lessons. Like, I do all the tweets. I do all the blog posts. I do all the videos. I do the alerts and the commentary.
You do the content. He does the distribution.
100%. You should actually talk to him. I'm going to have him go to fucking San Diego. You guys can have tacos together. I think it would be cool. I don't know shit about that.
Yeah, I know.
Or have him on. That would be cool to have him on. I would like to watch that and learn. Because when he starts talking about that shit, I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm a huge DR guy. I mean, I do a lot of direct response and affiliate. I mean, do you even have an affiliate program? Do you know?
I mean, we have a little one. I see every now and then there's like an affiliate or something. I don't even understand. That's not my thing.
I don't know is a completely and totally acceptable answer.
There's a whole video where it's like Tim Sykes is like an affiliate. I'm like, we don't even have it's all based on the fucking TV. I've been on like 8 reality TV shows. It's all based on Instagram. I've got 1.3 million followers. Like, people find me like that. And the fact that I have real students, like, we show all our names, like, my industry is so fake. People say that they're a millionaire. They show one screenshot or something. Like, it's,
I've like worked the Instagram super hard. I've worked the affiliate marketing game. I've worked like, you know, direct response. And like, I'm really good at like playing the marketplace game with Amazon. I don't know shit about iTunes. I do not know shit about it. Like, the algorithm, like how to grow your podcast. And literally in UK, Canada, and the US, I have a top 10 podcast in business and management marketing in business. So
awesome.
And I think a huge piece of it, I don't even really listen to that many podcasts. I have about like 10 that I've like been in love with for like 2 years, but I'm not like constantly like.
When I was growing RevLabs Twitter and RevLabs.com and my Instagram and the company's Instagram, I was obsessed with it.
This is the first thing that I've like has come to me. Instead of me going and chasing it down and like strangling it to death, like I do everything else in my life, I'm trying to be good at, which is rad and sounds a lot of like what you're saying, where it gives you the ability to validate yourself. I think a lot of people have followed my Instagram and my journey and whatever, thinking I'm like a meathead and like a jacked dude with his shirt off. And it's,
what's your Instagram?
I'm RevLabs Prez.
Woo! Dude, I just got you to 97.5. When I clicked it, it was 97.4. That means something.
That does mean something. it means that my analytics are turned on and I like that they're in real time changing. And I like that the number changed in front of you. So
it means that I was like 90, you were like at 97.99.
Yeah. So I think the
internet. Oh my God. Am I going to have to just look at fucking pictures of abs? This is so gay. Come on. What the fuck?
What's wrong with being gay, bro? You can't say that shit. Now I'm going to have
nothing wrong with being gay. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't have abs. This pisses me off. Now you're just going to make me feel bad. I'm unfollowing you. You're back to 97.4.
That's fine.
You literally are back to 97.4. This is amazing.
I'm going to scope this.
This is amazing.
You're literally, how empowered do you feel? Hold on. I'm going to look. I'm just going to say.
97.5?
Okay, don't unfollow. I want to be looking, schmuck. Check. Look. 1 second.
Are you at 97.5? You see it?
Look at my life right now. Spinning.
You see 97.5? Wait, I'm going to unfollow you. 97.4. Now unfollow. Look at this.
I'm refreshing. Oh my God, you're an animal. You're a fucking animal.
I have that power.
RevLabs Prez is just going up and
down. I'll follow. I'll unfollow you after the podcast so that I look good when the podcast ends.
I feel you. I'm going to follow you back and then forget to unfollow.
It sucks though. I've got 1.3 million. It doesn't even budge anymore. Like I used to like look at like every single one. It was nice and fun. Now it's just
I
can't even be real time anymore. I'm in Switzerland on social media. I'm in Italy in real life. I have stalkers. It's a problem,
That's fucking awesome, my dude. I love your moves.
Stalkers who are guys. I don't have girls. Yeah, that was South Africa. That was nice.
Yeah, it's really dope. I like that picture a lot.
Thank you.
So have you worked on your Instagram and growing your social, or is this 100% organic? And by the way, if you say this is 100% organic with no work, I'm going to call you a liar.
So this is, when I started doing these charity trips, like I mix everything. I don't believe in any line. So I bring influencers to give, exposure to the charities, and they also post for me, and then we also all have a good time, and then they also post with, themselves. I bring photographers and videographers because I'm always trying to get better at my own content.
Good.
So we have like 3 photographers, 3 videographers. Like if you compare my content 3 years ago versus now, like game change. So it all mixes and it's cool.
Bro, ironically, so I don't know. Every guru in the world that actually knows his shit tells you content fucking king, like straight up. So if you're the content guy, And you have someone covering the basics of the distribution.
If you know how to post on Instagram without any of the hacks, that's the most important piece.
My last millionaire student found me on Instagram, liked my Lamborghini. So it fucking works. And if you actually look up like Harvard studies on performance theory and goal setting, like if you have a big goal, it actually helps. So I'm actually the douchebag. If you look at some of my photos, like I have a stack of like $1 million cash. And I've done this a few times. I post it. I spell my name on bed. Sometimes broke rappers steal my photos. This actually got me like 300,000 followers in a day when Bow Wow stole my photo and he claimed the money was his and he filtered it. And I called him out and I said, Bow Wow, why are you stealing my photo with cash? I'll teach you the stock market and then you can have your own cash so you don't need to steal mine. And I signed it Little Juju. He didn't like that. And he told like his 4 million followers, go attack this guy. And I was like, oh shit. But attacking on social media means they put a little L. They put a little L on your comments. Like, oh no, I have a little L. And so I got like a lot of L's in my comments. And then I got like 300,000 followers. And I was like, this is awesome. It was hilarious. And then the game stole my cash photo and we're on TMZ. And TMZ posted it. And it was just like negativity spreads faster. Like this stupid cash photos. In my Ferrari, or actually it was my first Lamborghini, I was trying to get a ticket because I've never gotten a speeding ticket in any of my exotic cars. Like, I don't give a fuck. So I piled all these girls in. I had like 4 girls in the passenger seat and I'm trying to get pulled over because I'm just thinking like, what kind of ticket would this be? This would be pimp.
Yeah.
No one would pull me over.
The girls are like, this is so fun. And you're like, it's not fun unless I get legal proof that this happened.
They're like, don't go so fast. Like, come on, cops. Where the fuck are you? And literally, I could not. I mean, it was cool just to be able to fit 4 girls into a car. But no ticket still to this day. Like, what? I got my first Lambo 2012. So 6 years, not one ticket. Not one pullover. Forget about tickets. Like, I don't even know how to work the fucking windows on some of my shit. It would just be funny if like the cops if the cop is like telling me like roll down your, I'm like, I don't know, officer, like this shit, like I don't know how it works. That would be fucking funny.
Yeah, and hopefully you have like a videographer pop out of the trunk to be able to get it all on film.
This was before. No, and the trunks are too small. We need like a little Vietnamese like child slave, and I don't have that. It's all about charity these days. So, or I guess it could be, it doesn't have to be a child. I guess like the like Asian people are small. Like it could be like, what was that guy's name in The Hangover? He was in the trunk of a car.
Yeah.
Was it Mr. Chow?
Mr. Chow. Yeah, I was going to say Mr. Kim, but then I'm like, I'm just being racist at this point. Yeah, it was Mr. Chow.
Yeah, I'll probably get shit for this. I actually, there's a video on YouTube where I was betting against a lot of these Chinese frauds, Chinese companies. There's just no regulations.
Really?
So I was like, don't be racist in life, but you know, be racist in the stock market with Chinese companies. And like 2 years later, they all got taken down. They all got exposed and shit like that. But to this day, I think that video has like a million views and like a comments are like, he's racist. I was like, I said, don't be racist in life, just Chinese. And if you've ever been to China, like never start a company there. I mean, it's just the fucking Wild West. It's crazy.
What's wrong with Chinese regulation? I literally know nothing about the Chinese stock market.
Well, my stomach hurt for the whole month I was there. So I couldn't even fucking think clearly because I couldn't get like just like a.
I hated the food in China. I'm like, dude, can I just get like chicken? And it's like that has like bones,
like chicken tendon.
It's like the feet of the chicken.
I just wanted
like,
to stay.
What the
I
fuck?
Was eating like the fucking knuckles of the cow. No, you can't get it. They do stuff, but for me, I mean, anything that you dare, like someone's just gonna copy you, and they're gonna try to like undercut you by like 90%. Like I just don't need that, you know. My latest millionaire student, Stephen Ducks, is Chinese, and he is the hardest worker. Like, English is fourth language. He's awesome. I want more Chinese students, but I'm just not to the Chinese market.
What is the problem? Like, the government doesn't play a big enough role?
Government, competition, torrenting, language issues. For me, it might be time zone issues. Like, I only trade U.S. stocks. So if you're in China or anywhere in Asia, it's like you're pulling a graveyard shift, which I do have some students like that and like in Australia, but what I teach is you can make a little extra money here or there. It's supposed to be enjoyable. You're not fucking staying up all night. You know, I have some like students who are truck drivers and they post videos of them like studying stuff like while driving. And I'm like, no, like I can just picture like accident. The last thing they were watching was a Timothy Sykes DVD. I was like, God, don't study when you're driving. What the fuck?
So it sounds like you're being crazy and outflowing like crazy and making your rounds. I mean, at least with the podcast, you know, you reached out to me and you got a couple more booked today.
Correct. Trading is the easiest that I fucking do.
Yeah,
it's just finding scams, exposing the scams, finding momentum stocks like BBOX right now, buying the momentum, trying to sell for a profit. That's the easiest shit. Organizing all this other stuff is where it gets complicated. And I love it, frankly. It's like a giant jigsaw. But I don't want to pump this stock. You see, I don't want to, like, I trade with such a small account. I mean, this thing is traded 50 million shares today at $2. So it's like traded like $100 million stock.
Oh
like,
yeah.
No, I want it.
Fuck it.
Pattern.
Yeah, I get you.
I don't touch like illiquid stocks. I'm not like, hey, let me buy the stock and then all my members buy it and be like, look how smart I am. You know, that's like Jordan Belfort.
Right.
I specifically tell people not to follow my trades, like learn the process. Like this BB is okay. I talked about like why it's going up. These little indicators, you know, will happen again and again and again. It's the process that matters. So that's what I try to teach. I have a whole bunch of people that, you know, try to learn this stuff. And then I have a whole bunch of people who bet against me and they just think I'm full of bullshit. So I can't control other people.
Yeah.
All I can try to do is like what's worked. And a whole bunch of people, like there's probably like 60, 70 tweets this morning being like, oh, Sykes bought BBOX. It's bullshit. He's pumping it. And they try to short because they literally think that I'm the one pumping it up. Meanwhile, it just fucking keeps going and they're getting annihilated. It's a good day.
You're like, keep betting against me. And either way, I'm going to be okay with it. But you're either going to go bankrupt and be wiped out and devastated, or you're going to learn. And in either scenario, you win, I guess.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like I cherish my haters too. My first online hater, Michael Good, wrote a whole blog post. It's still up. Timothy Sykes is full of BS. And we went back and forth in the comments. The comments are still there. He eventually gave me a try. Now he's made over $2 million. He's my chat room moderator. So if I can turn my haters into someone successful, then I could teach anybody. And we still kind of have this love-hate relationship. I still give him shit about his fucking, you know, pear-shaped body and excessive freakish man hair. And, you know, he tried to come back and made, you know, he's made a lot of money, so he can't really be that mean.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Plus also, if he's your chat room moderator, that means you're paying the bills.
I mean, he makes more from trading. This is what I like doing. So I take my students on. You know, it's not just me giving live webinars now. Like, three of my top millionaires give weekly live webinars.
Ooh,
so you
good.
Can learn a little from me. You can learn from other people. And we all have slight variations. Like, one of my students, Tim Grittani, my top student, who's he likes to really bet against the plays that I'm in. I like buying the dip. He likes shorting the spikes. You can go both ways. These penny stocks are so volatile. There's enough room both ways. And it's whatever your personality is. You know, I used to short sell all the time, but frankly, is better at like dip buying lately. So whatever
works. What is that? Dip buying?
Like BBOX, you know, I wasn't buying it at its high. It had already hit $1.75 this morning on the good news. It was coming down, holding in a range at 150. So I bought the dip thinking that the bottom would hold, which it did. Then it held around 170 near the highs. And now in the afternoon, it finally broke out and it's, you know, hanging around 210 right now. So it's good. That's what I do.
Right on. And why are you pushing so hard, making your rounds, like talking to, you know, coming on like Inside Out Empowerment and then however many other podcasts? Is there a method to the madness?
I don't know. I like to talk. I like to, you know, really just find dedicated students. I find a lot of fucking lazy students and I'll search the entire world. I'll search the entire internet for dedicated. I have 5,600 video lessons. So it's roughly 450 hours of studying. So, you know, I have my own kind of, I guess, academy or whatever you want to call it. But most people don't want to watch it. It's kind of like gym membership. 80% of people with a gym membership don't even go. Mm-hmm. If everyone went to the gyms would all go out of business. Like, they're not made for all the people with the fucking things. No different than banks. Banks don't have more than like 10% of their cash on hand at any one time. So for me, 80%, 85% of my students don't even bother watching all my videos. My latest millionaire student watched all my video lessons 3 times. That's just video lessons. I also have 1,000 webinars and there's new stuff every day too. So I'm looking for dedicated people. I don't have like a book to sell or a product to sell or some bullshit JV launch. I'm just talking. And if people want to follow me, that's cool. If they don't, that's cool. You know, it's good to talk to you and it's good to meet you, frankly. You know, we got along from the minute we started talking.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm excited to go to San Diego next time. Now I don't just have to visit Billie Jean anymore. I can visit you. So it's cool. You know, Billie Jean?
No.
What?
I know Anil Patel, though. Billie Jean? No.
Billie Jean is marketing. He's Mr. San Diego. He's got a cool little office downtown.
Got it.
You should meet Billie Jean.
I will.
He's actually a really good guy.
I guarantee you know each other or have done something somewhere together if he's a big fucking marketing guy out of San Diego. I don't know why I don't know
that. He's a marketing guy. He's a funny guy. I like him. So I used to go to San Diego for tacos and to meet Billie Jean. Now I'm going to go to tacos and, you know, meet with you too. So, and Neil Patel's around there too.
But he's all over the fucking place. Yeah, he is. And he is all over the place.
He's the one who inspired me to start schools. He built a school. I built my school bigger than
him. I'm a good fucking listener, homeboy. I heard every word you said.
I sent a video.
He spent 15 grand.
I sent a video to him. I was like, here's your school. I was like, here's my school. Here's your school. I think there's a janitor. No, that might be a beggar at your school. I don't know, but it was.
And Neil's school costs. Neil's school costs 15 grand, and yours costs 50 grand, right?
Yeah, and then my soccer stadium 63,000, and then now we have like 40 other schools or 38 other schools.
I like your move, sir. You're like, I will never I will never be successful enough to be mature. The two are non-mutual.
I agree with that 100%. Fuck maturity. If you can buy your way out of maturity, you've lived a good life.
Fucking.
This is why I don't get along with rich people. My humor is for lighter people. Rich people are so fucking boring. I was going to kill myself if I had to go to these charity events. And like, I like the charity events for what they do, raising money. But dealing with the people like they name all their shit after themselves.
Fucking like clapping.
Oh my God. I started naming. So my latest 5 schools are named after my 5 millionaire students. I'm tired of like naming schools after myself. Like, I don't want to see my name. I already see it enough. My ego's big enough. Let's start naming it after other people. So it's fun. Like, you gotta fucking do what's right in the world. Like, you can't just be about you. Like, I don't give a fuck if, oh, all these schools and these libraries and these buildings are named after me. Like, that's not the legacy I want to leave. Like, I want to teach people. I want to change communities. That matters so much more. So that's me.
I also think that like when you are new money, you do a lot of the like, you know, mental masturbation, self-validation shit. And then you're like, wait a second, I'm either going to do only this stuff, or, and like that is where you see a lot of like addiction come in, or like, you know, the trust fund syndrome. Even if you, the money is self-earned, it's difficult to enjoy a lot of the time if you don't parlay the financial freedom into some kind of purpose or some, because a lot of people, they work for them towards the money piece of it. And then they work towards like the power piece of it, or the influence piece of it, or the validation piece of it. And then if you can't parlay your first few million bucks into some sort of like greater thing than those things that involve yourself, it's really fucking tough to keep being driven and not be jaded and not be empty and not be unfulfilled and like need more cocaine, 100%. More hookers, or more whatever the fuck it is that's filling your void, you know?
No, money in itself is boring. But if you use it properly to, you know,
buy a
expand yourself, expand, and load it with expand your horizon.
And try
I've got a Lamborghini, McLaren, and Ferrari. They're all sitting in the fucking driveway in Miami, bored as fuck. You know, I use them for like my videos. Like,
yep.
I do a fried video lesson, Ferrari Friday. Hey, I'm sitting here in my Ferrari, Tim Sykes here. And people love that shit.
Right.
Versus if it was just me. Like, before I got started teaching, I had a Jeep Grand Cherokee. I fucking love my Jeep. I had to get rid of it for these fucking exotic cars just so that these fuckers can like listen to me. I fucking hate them. They make me nauseous. I want to drive them so
That's
slowly.
So
also,
funny. That's
rude.
So funny, dude.
If you drive them too fast, it's rude because people on the street are trying to take pictures and then it's all blurry. So I need to drive slowly so that I can say, hey, tag me, Timothy Sykes, drive my Ferrari. So I always make a Jewish joke. If you look at every one of my Instagram photos, like Jews on the move, Jews in the news, Jews in the jungle, Jews with views, Jewish Ben Affleck, Jewish Michael Phelps.
Jews with views. I'm stealing that one.
Jews with views has like 4,000 things now. That's my shit. But I also have a Ferrari, a Jew Claren, and a Jew Burgini.
Dude, you know who you should do something with? You should collaborate with Little Dicky. I feel like you two would fucking be hilarious together.
I would love that. I actually tried to collaborate with 2 Chainz because I got 4 music videos and I'm known as Jew Chainz. Jew Chainz! And I was like, yo, he actually sells like ugly Christmas sweaters. I was going to sell ugly, you know, Hanukkah sweaters and like have a 2 Chainz, Jew Chainz. He didn't like it. He thought I was a fucking idiot.
So,
but I like Little Dicky. He's a good Jew.
So two drops real quick. I know the dude. He like won the Shark Tank thing for Tipsy Elves, and they started by specializing in ugly like Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's sweaters.
And
now they're like a whole whatever. So if you actually do want to make an ugly Hanukkah sweater and actually team up with 2 Chainz, I could probably put that together and connect that.
Let's do it. What happens.
And
we tried to reach out. It didn't go well.
So you said the game stole your shit. The game lives like an hour from me and has posted with RevLab stuff.
I apologize to the game because he's actually a little different than Bow Wow. So I don't want to start.
The game is a good guy, but he posts it with RevLab stuff. We send him free shit. So if you wanted to do some fucking like making fun of Jews thing with the game, that would be very.
I'm down 100%. I have all these fucking, part of the reason why I was just in Switzerland is I was spoofing this Migos video. You know, my view is a bad jacuzzi, living my life like a movie. My stock trades are extraordinary, hundreds on hundreds on my bed too. Like instead of bad and bougie, my view is a bad jacuzzi. So I do shit that's just for no reason fun for me, but nobody else. My rap videos all fucking bomb. I spoofed Rihanna and Stay. You know, there's a whole
video on that.
All
fucking bomb. Well, dude, minus Little Dicky, like how many fucking really cool, swaggy Jewish rappers are there? Probably zero. I mean, I could
Mattis
be
Mattis Yahoo.
Mattis Yahoo.
Mattis Yahoo's not really a rapper.
That's a good draw.
Good. He's like it's not even me singing. It's like my students. I've got some musically like talented students. I just write the lyrics and I make it for like the stock market or whatever. I don't know. I have fun with it. You try different shit. Like
all my rap videos bomb. I fucking like that line. I don't know why. That's just funny as fuck.
I have 4 videos. I think they have combined views of like 30 or 50,000. Like my stock videos, some of them have like 1 million views. But no one cares.
No one
likes it, but I like it. Dude, and it's fun to make.
You know what's amazing that really like empowers you to do whatever the fucking hell you want to go do is the concept that nobody gives a fuck about you enough to like put attention on you if what you're doing isn't like somehow catching their interest and like expanding them. If it doesn't have legs, right? Like people don't walk around the internet trolling shit only for stuff they don't like. It's like, dude, people don't put out the content they want to, like in social influence, or they're really good at something, but they don't take the time to do exactly what the fuck you're doing, which is like, take weird fucking risks, like play around, talk in your fucking Ferrari, because that's what worked and you can keep fucking doing it, even though like the Ferrari isn't your favorite fucking car to drive, like making rap videos because it's fun as hell. And like, there's a degree of authenticity that like wears off when you are speaking from your heart. You know what I mean? Instead of sitting there,
I did a Beastie Boys spoof. You got to fight for your rights in finance. That was my first video. You got to fight for your rights in finance.
That was honestly a pretty good.
I got on top of the bull on Wall Street. The cops pulled me down, but I got a few good seconds on the bull. It was pretty sweet.
You're on the bull for like, for however many seconds, and they like tackle you. You know what you need to do is probably go drive that same Lamborghini full of chicks through like Times Square. That will get your ass pulled over. Maybe you're just driving.
I will do it, but it's in Miami. The problem is everyone already has a fucking Lamborghini in Miami, so they just don't care. But me on the bull, like, you know, it was fun. I've done it a few times. And if you go early in the morning, no one gives a shit. My mistake was going like midday.
Got it.
So now I go early morning. I do early morning photo shoots every day. Like, I'm here in fucking Italy right now. I have to get up at sunrise tomorrow to do an early morning shoot so that it looks like I own the city, or the plague wiped everybody out, either or.
I like that about you. Are there people like assigned specifically for guarding the bull? Is that a thing?
No, I mean, it was just more like I went like in the middle of the day and like cops, they were like walking around. I mean, they weren't there. I didn't know, but now I just go at like 6 a.m. Like, I never have a problem. Like, I've filmed so many fucking video lessons on top of the bull. Like, people love it. For me, it's just also like, what is that technical term? I'm learning this. What is it? Pattern disconnect, pattern interrupt. I don't know. Some bullshit fucking internet marketing thing where you just have to try different stuff. Like, if
you have to be
me, I would just...
You have to be disruptive, 1,000%.
Actually, well, to get people's attention, you know, like that stuff like that. So... Finance is boring. Teaching stock trading is boring. If I have a Jeep Grand Cherokee, it's boring. So, you know, it helps like if I have like these exotic cars. So I do what I must. And, you know, it's good. I give it to my uncle. He's in Miami. He says it's his. He gets laid. So everybody wins.
Great, great, great. Yeah, 100%. You get to do what you love. He gets to do the chicks that think the Lamborghini.
He loves. He truly loves.
Which is banging bitches that want him for his money. God bless him. What's your uncle's
That's
name?
That's it. The money that he doesn't have. And then he has even more fun because it's like a whole charade.
Yeah.
He's the actor he never got to be.
What is your uncle's name? I want to shout him out.
Uncle Rick. If you ask for Uncle Rick, Rick Sykes down in Miami, everybody fucking knows him.
What the fuck's
He's
up?
He's the happiest broke guy in the world. He has no money whatsoever. None. He doesn't give a shit.
I really hope the chicks he's banging don't listen to my podcast.
I mean, I don't think they do. I don't think they have internet access. I mean, he's got like 10 STDs and no money. So it's like, you know, if you don't get checked, no, you don't really know what you have.
It's not, like, that's not official until it's on paper. It's like you with the speeding ticket, you know, like, you know, unless it's like recorded in like an illegal database somewhere. Like, did it actually even happen, or is it just crazy?
Exactly. If I have an amazing photo and it doesn't get like 30,000 likes on Instagram, did it really happen?
I don't know. You know, I think it has to pass at least the 20 mark to be real.
I just checked my phone. I have like 6 text messages. I missed my next podcast.
I love that.
I'm sorry about this. We went way over. I got to make my next one in 10 minutes. Do you have any final questions?
Yeah. What the fuck can somebody do to be more empowered in their life? What are actionable steps? I almost feel like it's degrading the quality of our immaturity to be like asking a sincere question. But like, you're a guy that has clearly been successful at what he's done. You've climbed a couple mountains. You're doing good at a couple of things, honestly. I want to acknowledge you for like your authenticity and your consistent fucking effort in just being who the fuck you are, and your self-awareness of taking the time to constantly be producing content. I think it's so fucking important. I think you're building assets that in 10 years from now, in 20 years from now, you will turn around and look back. And when you have little baby Sykes running around, and the next generation of Sykes, they'll be able to say, look at daddy who was on record being a fucking crazy asshole during like 2015, 2018, 2025. And they're like, holy shit, your grandpa's old as fuck. But they can see who you were,
like
you were about. You know what I mean? So
no, I think
talk to me about what somebody can do. They're sitting here, they're listening to my show. They clearly have,
I think they should listen to your show and a whole bunch of other shows that, you know, interest them. I think that they should focus on shit that they love, not what their parents want them to, or, you know, what they think is like a big money industry. I find that there's so much money in being an expert, whether, you know, you're an expert in making rap videos, an expert in whatever it is that you love. Like, there's so much opportunity. There's so many different ways of making money and taking your love and turning it into a business that can help other people, that helps yourself. It doesn't feel like work. Like, if you actually look at the money that I make versus the hours that I spend, I'm probably making like minimum wage, but I don't give a fuck because I'm not a little Chinese laborer making Nike shoes and getting paid 20 cents an hour. Like, I'm actually doing what I love. And if you're not doing what you love, like, life is boring. So for me, it's all about not just the money that you make, but recognizing what drives you, what pumps you up. Like, if you wake up in the morning and you're like, holy shit, I'm so fucking pumped. I have all this stuff going on today. When my head hits the pillow, like, I'm out. I sleep fucking so soundly because I've done everything I wanted to do during that day. Like, picture your day. Like, what can you do in a day that will make you truly happy and feel meaningful and leave some positive imprint on the world, like, later on? So don't just do what you love. Like, hey, I love stealing cars. Like, no, you're a fucking thief. You belong in jail. Hey, I love doing heroin. No, you're a fucking idiot. Go to rehab. Do something that's good for you and good for society. And if more of us think like this, the world starts changing. And that's the potential here with the internet. That's the potential with sharing education and sharing knowledge and just talking, because no time in history have we all been connected like this. Never before. And it's fucking amazing that we're having this conversation across the world. Even though you sounded like the Transformers for a little bit, I'm going to send you a video. I actually recorded a little bit just so you can hear what you sounded like. It was pretty freaky. Or like a demon or something. But just the fact that we can do this, and then you record it, and then you post it, and then other people listen to it, like, the potential that we have for good and improvement in the coming years is amazing. Obviously, there's risk with artificial intelligence, pollution, and bombs. But, you know,
yeah, I think we have like 8 to 10 years until Skynet takes over and like the newer version of Arnold Schwarzenegger comes and murders.
Yeah. I agree. So long story short, use new technology until it fucking kills us. It's going to be really good up until the end, and then it's going to
really
suck.
It's really empowering for the next little bit. You're right. It connects us in a way.
We're going to be like celebrating, like, yeah, we're so fucking, and then the next minute we're all dead.
Yeah.
But we don't know it. So all you can do is keep gearing up for that fucking moment. It's going to get quicker and quicker and more exciting until it's over. And then you can't predict when that's going to happen. You can't stop it. So don't even fucking try. Just enjoy the ride and fucking do what you can to you know, ride it the best you can.
That's it. Sounds like most of my sexual experience.
That's my action. Thing, but it's all comes from reading a shitload, using social media, podcasts, blog posts, books, audiobooks, Kindle, whatever you fucking can to ingest all this information until we're like the Matrix and we get something where it makes it easier and we just fucking stick it in the back of our heads. But until that happens, you got to put in effort. It all comes down to effort. And if you're not focusing on something that you love, you cannot put in enough effort to become a true master. If you're like, oh, my mom wants me to doctor. Oh God. Okay. I'll watch these videos online about becoming a doctor, but like, you're fighting it. It's going to show up in your work. It's going to be fucking miserable for you. You're going to have to drown yourself with alcohol or drugs or religion or some crazy shit.
I love that. Alcohol, drugs, or religion. That is fucking awesome.
You're going to need some out, and I don't need any of that. Like, it's beautiful to be so happy and doing what you love and doing what you feel like you're made for. And I just wish more people could experience that. And that's frankly why I'm so proud to teach, because, you know, a lot of this also deals with money. Too many people just have to pay their bills. They're like, yeah, this is motivating shit, but now I have to fucking work for somebody else. So do what you can. Don't necessarily quit your job, but study on nights, study on weekends. Like, there's so many
study
hours.
Everything always.
There's so many hours in the day. Stop playing fucking Fortnite. Yeah. Stop watching fucking Netflix. Stop fucking smoking weed. Stop fucking going out to clubs. Like, there's so much time and you have so much potential, and we're only going to get, you know, living longer and longer. And if you just sit at your fucking home and use the fucking internet, you can change your life and change the future of this world.
Hey, fuck it, dude. It's not going to get more punchy than that. I had a couple more questions, but I think we just fucking straight drop mic there.
We nailed it.
I'm wearing my Gage.
And I have to go to my next
Britney Spears headset thing. We'll be in communication. Do you want a copy of this video, audio?
Yeah, send me a copy. I'll edit out half my swears. I'll keep the other half in. It was great talking to you.
I'm keeping 99% of your swears. I think that was actually like effortless and super fucking enjoyable. I want to acknowledge you the way you're showing up in the world. You're the man, my dude.
Cheers, man. We're going to get tacos one day. It was good to meet you.
Motherfucker, I got to get going. I got like 14 fucking rooms in this place, and it's open like a revolving door to my human. So anytime you want to come here, fantastic. Got a place to stay.
Great talking to you. Seriously. I'll talk to you soon.
Peace.
Cheers.
Inside Out Empowerment is written and produced by me, Joshua Nussbaum. When it comes to all things editing, mixing, mastering, I have to give hats off. Resonate Recordings has been amazing to work with. If you have a podcast or you're thinking about starting a podcast, I knew I had a bunch of stuff I wanted to say, didn't really know how I was going to go about putting it into a podcast format, get it into an RSS feed, upload it to iTunes, all that stuff. And the owner of Resonate Recordings, Jacob, has really stepped up to the plate. Go ahead and mention Inside Out Empowerment when you talk to them, and you'll get your first episode mixed and mastered for free. If you guys are looking to level up your life and be entertained in the process, go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss my weekly podcast. I'm highly responsive. Please, I'm going to leave the show notes below, complete with all the ways you can connect with me on Instagram at RevLabsPrez, on YouTube at Joshua Nussbaum. This is here for you guys. Please reach out, connect, like, comment, subscribe, ask me questions, tag me. I'm here for you. Let's tailor this bad boy and live an empowered life. Talk soon. Just watch me now.